Well, the cotton market continues to make us a bit happy anyway. This five-week range has been between 63.28 and 66.64. So we're right in the middle of that range, a little on the upside of that middle now. We've certainly had several good days this week. We had very good fundamentals this week. We still get concerned about the size of the Chinese stocks, and that we also, from a bearish standpoint, a little concerned about the size of the U.S. crop that could be coming, but that's also a very huge plus for us. So this big crop in the U.S. is not as negative to the market. It's not bearish like it would have been 10 years ago, simply because the crops in Brazil, in India, in China, just to go down the line, are somewhat problemed by various scenarios. And those crops are going to be, for the most part, less than they were a year ago. The Australian crop is certainly larger, but as you look longer term at China, at Australia, the crop that they'll start putting in the ground here during our fall, the water levels there, the reservoirs are well less than 50% covered at this stage. Now, they do have time for some more moisture. They're in their winter season now, but they are dreadfully low. And on a historical basis, the Australian dams are dreadfully low, and that's where cotton's going to have to get its water from. So the market does look out and see that not only is the Indian crop's in some trouble, the Chinese crop is in some trouble. The new crop coming on, getting ready to be planted there in early fall. Well, the Australian crop is in trouble. The Brazilian crop has been reduced. So the only good crop on the horizon is here in the United States, looking at a crop somewhere. Absolutely worst scenario, about 14 million bales. Absolutely best scenario, about 17 million bales. So let's split the difference there, and I'll call the crop about 15.5 million bales today. But we all know it's just extremely early, so there's not a lot of faith we can put in that number right now. It's just the number we have to use. A breakout to the upside of where we are now could rally us into the 70-cent area, but a breakout to the downside would put us down up to 62 cents or so. So this trading range that we've seen for a while, I mentioned the last 5 weeks between 63.30 basically and 66.60, not exactly to the number, but those are the points. I think we're going to stay there should we break out. And the Pima sales were also reasonably strong, a little over 8,000 bales of Pima. So right now we have shipped somewhere in the neighborhood of about 8.4 million bales, working on USDA's 9 million bale export number. So we would anticipate exceeding USDA's estimate of 9 million bales of cotton sold this year, probably the way we're going now, about 9.2 million bales. So we're going to take U.S. stocks down a little bit more. But again, the bearish side, the U.S. crop, also the bearish side, and mills are scrambling for cotton in China now after not wanting any. And again, the reason they want it is because the price is roughly 50% of what it was a year ago, buying out of the state reserves. Plus, they know exactly what they're getting, and that's something that they've never known. So demand is reasonably strong in China. We have to be concerned that while the mill sales reserve in China has about 7 more weeks to go before they cut it off. We've known that all along. But in the meantime, they will disappear some 10 million bales. We get around 68, 69, 70 cents. We 10 in China will cut off a bit of cotton demand. We are concerned about that anyway. So that's where we are. For the meantime, I think we continue to stay in this trading range for the most part, around 64 to 66 cents. A little leakage on either side, again, with the major parameters being about 63 to 66 and a half, 67 cents. So have a great cotton day. Give that gift of cotton, and great marketing to you. And thank you so very much for your time.
Before I started working as a soil scientist.
Before I became a systems engineer.
Before I got started in aerospace.
I was a kid making discoveries.
I did my first lab experiment.
I found out science is cool.
In 4-H.
In 4-H.
In 4-H.
You never know when a spark will ignite the imagination and open up a world of possibilities for a young person. That's why 4-H has taken on the commitment of fostering 1 million new scientists and engineers for America's future workforce. With the help of companies and universities around the country, 4-H is growing the next generation of great thinkers.
1 million new scientists.
1 million new ideas.
Learn more and see how you can help at 4-h.org.